Hiya, and welcome to another episode of The Jewel Case with me, John Darcy. You might be listening on Lisburn's 98 FM or Bangor FM or on FM 105 in Downpatrick, three of the finest community radio stations in Northern Ireland, if you ask me. And why would you not? I'm a very trustworthy voice. That's why you're listening to The Jewel Case. It's been a while. It's been a couple of weeks. I've been in a liminal space. I've been in a transitional mood. I've got a new job. Congratulations, John. If you've been following me on Twitter or Instagram, you might have picked up some hints about that. But I am back with another episode of The Jewel Case for a very good reason. I've got a nice event that I want to talk about. It's called Resist. It's an electronic music night. They have had a couple of them before, taking place in the Black Box in Belfast, but they've got another coming up at the end of April, 21st of April. That's a Friday evening. So what Resist, I think, is about is, you know, experimental electronic music. There is a really thriving, burgeoning electronic music scene in Belfast with the AVA Festival and DSNT, all these people putting on really cool shows and really building an audience for this music. And Resist, I think, is becoming part of this, but also adding a little bit of experimental flavor into this mix in Belfast. So I have invited on the podcast today some people to talk about this event. I have Koichi Samuels and Liam McCartan. How's doing, guys?
Hello. Yes, good, thank you.
Doing great.
So Koichi, correct me if I'm wrong, from how I perceived it, I've been hearing about Resist on Facebook and receiving your digital promotion in that regard, but I have you quite strongly associated with Resist. So did you start this off, or is it a collaboration with a couple of other people?
Yeah. So Resist started with me and a guy called David Porter, who goes under the alias Kapoor. So we're both techno producers, and we met playing a gig put on by Phil Kieran, and he brought over Perk, who was headlining, and we were both support acts, and we just became friends and decided, you know, we wanted to put on an event that shared our kind of vision of a techno and electronic music night, something a bit different in Belfast. I know everything's trying to be different, but we really genuinely wanted to do something that emphasised on experimentation, as you said in the intro, and also live electronic music. So not just DJs, but giving producers and electronic musicians a platform to play live. And then David is also running his own label, so he's really busy with that. He's just coming up with his third release, which is going to be out later this year. So he's just focusing on his own label instead of Resist. And at that stage, Liam came into the picture. Actually, Liam has been involved right from the beginning, but just officially a couple of nights in, came on board, you know, to run Resist with me. So
Liam, what's your role in this? Is it a collective? Everyone's calling themselves a collective nowadays, right? Or is this just you're just running some gigs?
Well, it's me, Liam, and then Helena Hamilton, who's our artistic director. She does all the artwork for us, all the incredible artwork, and helps with the visual side of it.
Yeah, there's actually a pretty funny thing about, like, whenever we first like met and he knew that I was into like this kind of techno thing, it was because I was in Sark writing an essay called Techno-Futurism and Utopia, and he saw a wee picture of Jeff Mills, and he's like, are you writing an essay on techno? And he came up, and then we talked, and then got the gig, and then, yeah, Resist is here now. I would say it's you say it's a collective, maybe not really, because it's you and me doing, like, we're doing a good bit of the work, but we want to constantly, like, expand it into this thing of getting other people. A collective may be a good way that we're pushing it towards, where anyone can kind of in. The gigs we do in the Black Box, if you can put on a wee bit of a show, please, like, come down and play your weird stuff, your weird electronic stuff. That's the way I can think of it, as a collective. And we just have an open gate for people to play their weird music to people.
Okay, so this is like maybe the second or third or fourth gig?
Fifth show, actually. Yeah.
This shows how out of the loop I have been in my transitional phase. So, fifth gig,
yeah.
And how have you found the reception to this music and these artists so far?
It's been great so far. I mean, the first four events we did were three nights, and they were in the green room at the Black Box, which is the front bar. And the last three have been packed. It's been really like a surprise that people actually want to come and see this music, you know, ambient music or like IDM or, you know, free improv on modular synths, right to, you know, live techno performances. But people are coming. So this one is the first actual kind of proper night. We got late license, and we got DJs and three live sets, and then Liam running. Well, I'll let Liam talk a bit more about what he's doing in the second room. So yeah, the reception's been great so far.
Yeah, we'll get into what the acts are specifically doing, and actually we'll give our listeners a bit of a taste of each of the acts. We've got a couple of tracks lined up, but the lineup is Kapoor, who we've talked about, one of your early collaborators in setting up the night. Autumns as well, who's been sort of making waves in sort of lo-fi, shoegazy, electronic with dark vocals. I actually gave Liam, I gave you a lift over here to Goichi's house to record this today, and we were talking about Autumns and trying to frame that in a discourse of a couple of people who are doing the sort of vocal, dark, electronic things around Belfast. We'll talk about Autumns in a bit, but we've also got Kandiha. Am I saying that right?
Kandahar.
Kandahar, yeah, which is Kandahar. Your new collaboration with Helena.
Yes, yeah.
Who's Helena also part Hammond. Of Resist. Yep. And Marion Hawks, DJ. Too. And Liam, you will be playing in the second room, doing something quite interesting that we'll talk about. And Barry Cullen, also known as Barry's Electronic Workshop, is going to do some live visuals. But maybe let's talk before we get into the lineup and talking about, you know, what the individual artists do and how that evening will shape. You sort of skirted around the issue, or sort of hinted at the fact that the approach maybe here with this night isn't necessarily, although there I'm sure will be banging tunes, but it's not that what I guess, you know, around Belfast a lot of the nights probably geared towards that. There's going to be banging tunes to sort of like properly get into that meditative state of techno. Yours just comes from maybe a different angle of sort of, well, I'm trying to think of a better word for it, but like a sort of nerdy real interest in lots of different experimental aspects of electronic music. So that's why here we've got ambient inspired techno music, and sort of Liam, your background's maybe like in electroacoustic music, and actually the Kandiha project that Koichi you're working on with Helena involves like sound art and field recordings and live visuals. So maybe talk a little bit more about why you guys felt that was important. And Liam, you already mentioned like you guys met at the Sonic Arts Research Centre, SARC, which also I've been involved with as well, and has seemed to be a bit of a hub for this kind of activity. Like Liam, you were writing essays about electronic music and its links, you know, with electroacoustic music and sort of maybe more conceptual practices. Maybe talk about why that's important in Belfast right now.
Because I think it's this nice gap that, like you said, we're turning into banger country right now. All the gigs, as great as they are, and we both kind of love to go to them.
I've seen you out at these gigs, Liam.
Oh,
as well,
I'm always there. Like, I'll be at every little rave. Like, it's because it is fantastic, and the community constantly growing, and there is this big appreciation. But when you get there and you actually talk to some people, you realize that they're also, it's eclectic. It is really eclectic. You've got a lot of people kind of in the artsy kind of scene that want to go to these raves, and they're talking about different kind of like, oh, I was at a noise gig the other day, and it's like, and then I went to like a grindcore show, and then next day they're going to some, I don't know, string quartet, whatever. But they want this kind of experimentation and eclecticism in their music and not just in the bangers. And I think we're trying to provide that because we know it's an interest. And like you said, the SARC people is this kind of Sark people. That was a bad way to think about it. But, you know
Sark,
what I mean?
That's, yeah, Sark. And again, I'll say, in case you wonder what Sark is, this will probably keep coming up. Sonic Arts Research Centre, which is attached to Queen's University in Belfast. But you're right, Sark people is a phrase that I hear all the time. Mm. From people in the visual arts community who say, oh, you're involved with Sark? Oh, yeah, I met the Sark person the other day. It's kind of like a tagline now.
Yeah, it's kind of great because it just... it is a tagline and you could take it as a bad way if you want, but I think it's something of pride. If you're in with like the Sark people, you're making interest in music of any kind. And it just happens to be that techno music seems to be a thread between a good few of the Sark personalities.
Well, Koichi, you came from London to study at Sark. You came to do your master's and then continued on to do a PhD. Not necessarily in like electronic music, so to speak, but you've always been making that music and now are releasing with people like Phil Kieran in Belfast. Yeah. Maybe talk about that transition from London to Belfast and how you've perceived the place from an outsider's perspective, but now are quite involved and collaborate with a lot of people here.
So my kind of start of my music career in London was in illegal raves, actually, warehouse parties and barn parties around London and southeast of England. And I was part of a crew called, I better not say the name, this is a public life thing, but I was part of a crew and we had a sound system and we would set up, like I said, in warehouses and barns and just do techno parties. I was really into the London techno and, you know, London techno scene at the time. And what I can say about that time, it was really a mad, mad time in my life. And the parties I were going to were very edgy and very anarchistic, hedonistic. And you didn't always feel safe. You didn't always feel friendly and welcome in hindsight. You know, that kind of scene... could be pretty dark at times. Then after that, I kind of cut my ties with that and more into, you know, just London club culture. I lived in Japan as well for a couple of years, so I was in like the Tokyo kind of scene. And again, it wasn't dangerous in the same way, but there's an edge in London, and you know, it's not so friendly. Here there is an edge as well, but things are just, I find it's just very embracing and people just love it. You know, they're just out to have fun and to really enjoy music and, you know, just be out and have a good time, which is something that I haven't found in other places and I absolutely love Belfast for. And I just feel like there's just from an outsider's view, I don't know, whenever I talk to people about this, they often can't see it in the same way because maybe they've lived here all their life. But I just think there's so much potential in Belfast. It just feels exciting. It feels like something's happening and something's building here, especially to do with music and arts. I know some people who are from here might not agree with me and might say it's the same stuff or it's really boring, but I find it really an exciting and evolving scene.
Well, the thing that sort of I always go back to, and I hate the phrase put on the map, but it kind of, it did for some blog, was it Resident Advisor or Factor somewhere? Maybe it wasn't even one of the bigger blogs, but someone wrote a little bit of a review about the first AVA festival.
Yeah, Factor
did that. Factor did it. And they commented on just how up for it. And I think the reviewer felt quite nostalgic because they felt like they were going back to when everything was new because the way the audience really ate up the music. And the defining moment of that festival, I think, was Space Dimension Controller dropped some old like acid rave tune.
Trance track, Ayla.
Yeah.
And that went off.
Everyone, was it? Was it one of those ones? The one that you always hear when you're at the fun fair and you go on like the ride, you know, when you're like in Lisburn's Wallace Park gets the fun fair in and they have like the crappy big mechanical rides.
It's that vibe, play. Yeah.
But he dropped that and it was like, was it the outdoor boiler room set? And so the video kind of went viral a wee bit because the crowd just went off. But it's those kind of moments that make you realize, yeah, there is something in the air,
yeah,
atmosphere right there. But again, like we're saying, your interest is in techno, and you were doing those sort of raves where I guess the audience is rowdy, but you kind of, you bit intellectual aspect to your interest as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the kind of events we're putting on, I would say, is for, you know, definitely we do play banging tunes, you know, we definitely want people to be dancing and having a great time, but also something that's intrigues the audience or gives the audience a new experience through sound and visuals. And we try to create, you know, more of I don't like saying arty, but maybe like an arty take on electronic music. Yeah, one of the things that really gets me is when people say electronic music is soulless or doesn't have emotion, or, you know, isn't inspiring in that way. But I mean, that's what we're absolutely trying to do. And I think live electronic music performance lends itself to that much more. People really, you know, can express themselves and improvise with machines as well.
Actually, we've been talking about it for so much, but people probably want to actually get a little bit of a taste right now of the kind of music that might be going on at the Resist night. So top of the bill on like the promotional material is Kapoor, so I guess that's the best place to start. So Kapoor, like you said, was your collaborator in setting up the night, but he's also pretty busy with running his own label, Four Sides Records. So do you have a track maybe we could have a little taste of?
So this is unreleased. David sent it to me yesterday actually for promo for the night, and it's a snippet from his live set, which he'll be performing on the 21st.
So that was a little bit of Kapoor, who will be performing at Resist. You are listening to The Jewel Case, and we are talking about Resist, which is an electronic music night taking place in Belfast's Black Box on the 21st of April. With me in the studio, which is actually a kitchen living room set up today, it's Koichi Samuels. Thank you, Koichi, for letting us use your living room for the recording.
Always welcome.
And also with us is Liam McCartan, another one of the performers at Resist. Liam, we will get to your music in a minute. But next on the bill, who we'll talk about is Autumns. And Autumns, or actually, is there anything you want to say about Kapoor?
No, I mean, just that's unreleased material. Yeah, just look out for his next EP, which is coming out later this year on Four Sides Records.
And that is, I'm really terrible with the subgenres of electronic music. So could you maybe put that in a box?
I'd say Kapoor's got his own sound. It's really distinctive, but it's techno.
Yeah.
Maybe more akin to the Berlin scene, but it's just techno, quality techno.
Cool. Now, quite sort of far away from that, like in my head, genre wise, is Autumns, who are next on the bill. And Autumns does sort of like a live set with voice and programmed beats. Is that what he's doing for the Resist night? Because it usually kind of seems more like it's in a, for me, it feels more like in a world of, comes from rock music nearly, Autumns, rather than coming from electronic music, even though it's programmed beats, but it's very much the sort of beats that come from punk or shoegaze.
I mean, he's a really interesting artist. I've seen him play live, really exciting artist to see live. But I'd say he's crossover, because you see him on lineups alongside techno artists, and then also the more kind of electronic-y post-punk stuff that's really popular at the moment. I would say that his stuff crosses over into techno.
Like industrial. It's that kind of industrial sound, right?
Yeah. It's got that sound, yeah.
Like track by track, you could see the bleed between both sides, but it's definitely got that roots in the Suicide 1980s drum machine and mad screamy vocals on top flavor.
And he does have a habit of like getting up on the speakers and sort of wandering around the venue a little bit too, right?
Yeah. Definitely an exciting live act to see.
So Autumns is based in Derry. And do you have a track?
Yeah.
To maybe give us a feel?
Yeah, sure. So this track's called Imposter Syndrome, and it's from a VA release that Autumns featured on Regis's label Downwards, which was out earlier this year.
Are listening to The Jewel Case with myself, John Darcy, in the studio, which is also a kitchen. I have Koichi Samuels and Liam McCartan talking about their Resist night coming up with The Black Box. That track was Autumns. What was the name of it?
Imposter Syndrome.
And that, I guess, comes from the more electronic side. Well, it's all really electronic, the program beats that he does, but that was very much more techno, I felt.
Yeah. In flavor, you can really just, if you're ever wanted, you said you were unsure about subgenres and stuff within techno, it's only really vibe of a track that you can then try and subdivide it. Some people say dark techno, hard techno, Berlin techno are all different subgenres, but I don't talk to those people.
Well, actually, let's maybe sit on that for a minute, because that really interests me, the sort of intention and reception of genre in music. You know, so some genres are, you know, people classify them because of like certain artists, and even if a sound is quite different between those artists, they're put in a genre because they represent the idea of something, or there's genres that sort of really do represent a sound. And I don't really know what I'm getting at here, but for instance, the thing that really got me was like, I never understood what Northern Soul was because the genre of Northern Soul, the tag of that, you know, it wasn't about the artist who made it or the sound, or, well, it was about the sound. It was about that, you know, DJs from Northern England going over to the States and crate digging and bringing back songs. Mm-hmm. And subsequently those songs that were curated by the DJs were then tagged as Northern Soul, and that was the sound of Northern Soul. They were really just like American soul tracks that rarities and B-sides that hadn't really been picked up commercially. So that little case study of the Northern Soul really interests me. But Liam, you got quite into this whole like you thinking like critically about genre within techno music. So maybe you could talk a wee bit about that.
Well, I have to constantly be thinking about genre because the masters that I'm doing is all about the borders and bridges in electroacoustic and techno music right now, because I feel like there's this cusp of like experimentation within techno, and then you had the IDM, intelligent dance music, awful genre name, never call music smart. it shouldn't be allowed. But
so IDM or intelligent dance music was sort of tagged on to really mostly music from the Warp label.
Yeah,
but wasn't the name IDM came from like a compilation that someone made,
artificial intelligence. It was calm down music. It was the next day you could sit in your living room and listen to like these complex beats by people that were playing the raves the night before.
Yeah,
but then it spawned off into this whole giant thing, and the name is floating away. You're kind of just using it as a tagline. I don't think the people who make it don't support calling music smart, because like it's a kind of thing of like, once music's fun, it's not smart anymore, kind of thing. And that's when we were talking about the artier side of things in like Sark, you get people that seem to make music that isn't, it doesn't feel fun, if you get me, I'm saying a lot of judgments and big statements, but this is only what comes out of like the research. You get people that like to stroke their chin rather than listen to how lovely a piece of music is or if it has rhythm, because rhythm seems to be devoid in electroacoustic and the high art of electronic music right now.
Well, maybe repetition maybe rather than rhythm.
That's another thing I'm looking into. It's like it's repetition, rhythm, pulse, and specifically areas of where the repetition is. If it's up way up in the high frequencies, it seems to be a little more okay. Low sub, no way.
Yes. Mm. So we are going on quite of a deep dive. So listeners, mm-hmm. do stay with us. We think about the origins of techno and electronic music. Are in sort of like actually like soul and disco and that repetitive beat, but then you have these sort of like branches off where actually you could consider it minimalism and coming from that tradition too of pure repetition and that becoming somewhat hypnotic or meditative. But Liam, you're sort of talking about a scene in, I guess you could call it like academic institutions of electroacoustic music. And there are composers who exist outside of academia who make that music. Mm-hmm. But if we're totally to deride it, it could be considered chin stroking music, but comes from really interesting experimental scenes throughout the 20th century. Now, I don't really know where that sits because there's so many more strands that have leaked into field recording and different areas of sound art. So I think the pocket of people who make that harsh, kind of you could call machismo electroacoustic music, where everything's all these gestures of crazy sounds and there's very little repetition.
Yeah.
But I don't know what if there's an audience for that apart outside of the institution of like academia.
I think there is. But I just think it's the people that are maybe because it's presented in a very academic way. It seems to be when I first learned about it was an incredibly academic way rather than the fun of exploring the whole world of sound. Because electroacoustic, whenever you're taught maybe compositional techniques, it felt like absolute freedom. There is the rule book's gone. But when I talked to composers, they had a similar kind of viewpoint. But when they meant rule book, they meant like harmonic kind of relationships. Like, oh, we won't write chords or it won't be rhythms. We won't go by the modern rule book of how it's meant to be recorded. Like you said, repetition and pulse. So it's the freedom of everything. But it seems to be that they've stopped themselves. They've hit a wall. There's a generalizations, but you have people that are making electroacoustic music now that is just stuff from the 80s being regurgitated, and that's in techno as well. You've got people that just make, they hear techno from other people and then it siphons down and they just keep making the same school. Like the Berlin sound could be called repetitive, but I know it is. But I mean, like, it, some things, like, no, if you don't know, if you're not in the scene, you wouldn't know the difference between Ben Clock and Len Fackey. Do you know what I mean? Those are two giant names, but the difference would be how it's presented and how people are maybe not afraid but intimidated by electroacoustic when they shouldn't be. It's its complete freedom in sound. I went off on a thing there.
Well, we'll go back to the lineup of the Resist Night, and one of the acts that I'm kind of interested in is a new act, which is your act.
Yes, absolutely.
Your new collaboration with Helena Hamilton, who I first got to know as a visual artist in Belfast. And if you're familiar with the Black Box venue or PS Squared Gallery in Belfast, you may have seen some of her large scale wall drawings, which involve text and lines and geometry. Mm-hmm. But she's been making sound art and live performance works over the last number of years. Mm-hmm. And now you've come together to make a new work under this sort of umbrella of Kandahar. So tell us more about that.
Well, this idea was born when Helena came back from residency at Art Ongoing in Tokyo with all these incredible studies she'd done. She did do a big show there, and the main material in her work was paper. So she did an installation and a series of photographs. But alongside that, she made a lot of recordings of paper and also just general field recordings from around Tokyo, which she showed me. And I just found really wonderful sonic qualities in the sounds that she'd recorded. And another thing she'd started doing was these pen drawing sketches, which we, after discussing the sounds and looking at the images, we thought could become graphic scores to structure the very early idea of a collaboration. So I make techno, I make, you know, electronic music with beats and rhythms and lots of repetition. And she does sound art. So, she uses field recordings and makes soundscape pieces, but also sound installations and sound objects for performances. So we just got in the studio and started just improvising amazingly each time we sat down to work, we came up with a new piece of music. It just seemed to, it's such a cliche line, but it really did seem to write itself, the music. And we're really happy and excited about the results.
Well, I guess it's still in process, but have you got some sounds at the minute that you could share?
Yep. So this is an unreleased track and it's called Ring. And it uses a lot of the field recordings that Helena took in Japan. So this is Ring.
A little sample of Kandahar, which is a new collaboration between Koichi Samuels, who is with me today on the Jewel Case, himself and Helena Hamilton, a visual artist and a sound artist, and that sounds like that'll be quite interesting. So live on the night, what's actually happening with Kandahar?
Yeah, so we're going to use these graphic scores to structure the performance, and essentially I'm doing the sound through Ableton Live and the Ableton Push, and Helena's doing live visuals through Max MSP.
I hope you're getting sponsored by Ableton here.
Yeah. They've sponsored one of my projects before, so
have
maybe.
They? Yeah, oh, yeah, brilliant. Yeah, yeah. Shout out.
Check you. Yeah.
You should definitely push for more of those projects.
Yeah, I should. Yeah.
That sounds great. So let's go through the card, so to speak, or the bill. We've had a little bit of Kapoor, a little bit of Autumns, and a little bit of Kandahar. Another artist who is playing at the Resist Night at the Black Box on April 21st is Marion Hooks.
Yep.
Who I think we've given a shout out to Marion on a couple of episodes of the Jewel Case. People may know her from her club night Pony Hawk, or also her collaboration with Venus Dupree, Claire Hall. You've heard Claire Hall on the podcast twice, once when she was chatting with myself and Conan McIver. I think that was one of the early episodes of the Jewel Case. And also when she had brought over Twiggy Poochie Garçon to screen the Kiki film at Outburst Festival last year. So if you want to hear either of those podcasts, just a little bit of a plug opportunity for me, go to thejewelcase.johndarcy.com. All the old episodes are there. And actually, Koichi and Liam, you are in high esteem right now. You should be feeling very proud because you two are going to be episode 50 of the Jewel Case.
That's awesome. Okay.
And
cool.
No one good got me know. A kick. So this is the gold episode of the Jewel Case. We're at episode 50, but like I said, if you want to listen to any of the other 49, we have had skateboarders, musicians, authors, playwrights, dramaturgs, visual artists, curators, cheesemakers, former wrestlers, all sorts of creative people from in and around Northern Ireland, and visiting artists as well, have been on the Jewel Case. And if you have any recommendations of anyone you'd like to hear, or if you are an artist and you'd like to come chat with me, just give me a shout. johndarcymusic@gmail.com or Twitter @_johndarcy. Same on Instagram too. But how did I get to there? Marion Hawkes.
Yes.
One of Belfast's probably most resident DJs, constantly playing at venues around the city. Most of the time when I've heard her, it's like cool, eclectic mixture of house and techno, really nice, interesting remixes plucked from different places. She has a really sweet remix of This Must Be the Place, which is always a great one. So Marion does have her own night called Pony Hawk, and collaborates with Venus Dupree on The Girl. And they've got a really cool t-shirt actually out right now.
I've seen that.
With the pink logo. But there's also like another cool one, which is grey and black too.
So
they're all on Facebook.
Get me one of those.
Yeah, We Are Girl DJ on Facebook too. And actually Marion has her own night as well, where she collaborates with Amy Williamson on the, Amy does the visuals and Marion does the music, called Slow Jams at the Black Box. So the Black Box is probably sick of Marion, but she's back to play at Resist. And I assume, is she going to take it in a bit more of a dark or deeper direction for the Resist night, do you think? Or what kind of music is she going to be playing?
Absolutely. So, I've heard some of Marion's DJ sets and just noticed that she's been getting some really great shows. So I didn't know Marion personally, and I just checked out some of her music online. And it was the Slow Jams gig that really made me pay attention, and I noticed she was playing some really cool ambient and weirder electronic music stuff and really like chill out music as well. And then I actually went down to one of the Slow Jams nights and met her there, and the music was awesome and the visuals were really, really cool. There's another one this Sunday. It's every Sunday, so get down there if you haven't checked it out already. I asked her if she'd be up for playing at the Resist night, and she is going to do a more kind of experimental set. So she's going to play for an hour and a half, starting off weird and experimental and chilled out, and then moving to more kind of dance floor focused techno and electronic music.
Do you have maybe a track, like a sampler of something she might play?
Yeah, sure. So this is a tune she sent in, and it's by Pete Namlook and Move D, called Montage 3.
Are listening to The Jewel Case with me, John Darcy, and I'm in the company of two local musicians, Koichi Samuels and Liam McCartan, based in Belfast. They're putting on a night called Resist at the Black Box, 21st of April, and that was, Koichi, what was that track?
That's Pete Namlook and Move D on the Fax Plus 4969 label, a track called Montage 3.
Cool, and we're playing that because that's one of the tracks I imagine that Marion Hawkes will play. She sent you that for like promo or something for
the gig.
Cool. So Marion Hawkes, I think we've nearly made our way through our little journey of the Resist night. Let me just check the Facebook page for this. So I'm just on Facebook. If you want to check out Facebook events, just search Resist. You'll find their Facebook page and the event will come up. There's links for tickets, to get tickets, and it's only like, what is it?
Advance tickets, £4.
£4.
Yeah. There's a competition on at the moment as well. So if you click going on the event, share the event and tag a friend, you can be in the running to win two vinyls, one by Kapoor and one from Autumns, and also two guest lists.
That's brilliant. So if you get the ticket in advance, it's £4, and then it goes up to like £6 or £8. So I would get the ticket ahead of time. That's so cheap, Koichi, for so many artists.
Yeah.
Just running through the lineup again, we've got Kapoor, Autumns, Kendeha, Marion Hawkes, And Liam, you are in our midst and you will also be playing, but you'll be in the sort of the second room, maybe the kind of chill out room.
I wouldn't say that.
It's not going to be chill out. Liam, it doesn't really say this in the promotional material. It talks about you playing like experimental electronica, ambient. But you've told me before we started recording that you're actually doing kind of like an interesting little project.
Yeah. Well, it's something I've been doing for a good while. And I thought maybe if I give myself a deadline like Resist to present it for the first time...
You'll actually finish it.
Yeah. I'm rescoring Stanley Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey with all my own music except for one Periton track, but I'm then going to splice that up and make it sound freaky too. It's going to be a little bit different. It is experimental electronica. There's a nice bit of ambient, a good bit of drone and noise, but then still quite a lot of techno elements throughout it. It's a kind of like nice walk in, walk out. There's going to be a four channel system and you can experience it any way you want to. It's just the room's going to be playing the whole film from probably about 10 o'clock and then finish at 12:30 ish.
And the Black Box Cafe, or as they call it, the green room, that is like the front room of the Black Box, if you're familiar, where there's like, you know, during the day people have coffees, in the evening they have pizza. Actually, will they be serving pizza on the night of Resist, you know?
I think so. In the evenings. They got like 15 draft beers on tap in the green room. It's a really cool bar.
It's there. A nice space. So I'd imagine it's nice. It's just got like cafe seating, so people could just rock up and sit and watch the movie and hear your sounds. Yeah. Will they be able to hear the dialogue in the movie?
A great thing about 2001 is, and it may just be a sign of the times, is that there's very little music overlapping dialogue, so you can completely wipe away, like, you know, the use of the Strauss overture, like the bah, bah, bah. You know, I have to compose something that's as dramatic as that for the beginning of the movie. But you can watch it as the film, but from me studying it and trying to rescore it, there's actually not as much dialogue as you think. It's a very silent talking movie, and the music does a lot of work.
And you are recomposing that music, so it's a big task to undertake. That's the great thing about this night, and I can't believe it's only like £4 to go to, because there's just like two really interesting things happening at the same time. It's like a mini festival, nearly, that sort of thing. Like, what? It's a mini festival now? Maybe shut up the price. So Liam, we don't have that because you're still working on that. I hear you're still working.
We're not going to play the whole thing
We're not going to play the whole thing, but maybe we can play a little bit of your music, something sort of glitchy, techno-y. We got a little taster of a track here.
Yeah, this is something I made of maybe a few months ago ish, called Data Context, which uses a lot of changing file extensions of names to MP3. So you take like a Word document and then you change it to .mp3 and you import it into another bit of software and you see what happens, and then you splice and you...
So this is like technically the computed sound of one software trying to read a different file from a different file type.
Yeah, and then me then messing with that audio so much it's all over.
This is like, you know, some people may have seen these videos floating around YouTube of people who take a picture and put that into like one of these software synthesizers, and the synthesizer reads the picture as music.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. But you're taking loads of random files and then...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And video types. Because
Data bending.
Data bending. It's called data context, and the context is rhythm. Just to see how much, whenever the rhythm changes, how you hear all the sounds that are flying about you in different ways.
Cool. Well, let's hear a bit of it. Thank you. So that was a little snippet of a piece of music called Data Context, or Data Context. I never know which is the right way to say that. I think there's an Americanism and...
Data is the American one, I think.
Data.
I like data.
I gotta get my data on my hard drive.
Data.
So Liam, that little piece, I'm with Liam McCartan, the composer of that. That was made from the sounds of different types of files, computer files, but then brought into music software to actually sonify them in a way.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I love that idea. If people want to hear that more, can they? Have you got a SoundCloud or a page to hear that?
No. I'm a very secretive person about all of this. I have plans.
You have plans. You're gonna, well, Liam McCartan, maybe they just have to Facebook stalk you in the meantime,
yeah,
or something like that.
If you want
to
be my friend, I can send you the good old fashioned way. I'll send you a tip.
Koichi, actually, most of these artists are all on Facebook. The artists from the Resist Night. So you've heard snippets of them all along the way throughout the podcast. Check out Resist on Facebook. You'll find links to all their work there. Kapoor.
He's Autumns, also on there. Yeah.
Kapoor, Autumns, Kandahar, Marion Hawks, they all got their own SoundClouds and Facebook, so please do check them out. And Koichi, since you're here in the room, do you want to give a specific shout out to your own social media plugging?
Yeah, I mean, we can put all the links in the description of this, but yeah, my Facebook is facebook.com/Koichi Music, SoundCloud.com/Koichi. And definitely add the Resist Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ResistBelfast.
You're really good at this. You should come on more often.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, guys, is there anything else you want to... We've got to wrap up soon. Is there anything else you want to say about the night for any listeners who may potentially be thinking of going, or, you know, this is your moment?
Well,
this
for me...
This is your moment.
Moment to shine. Yeah, no, for me, don't miss it. It's going to be a really, really great night, and the music is really exciting. A lot of unreleased music, a lot of never-before-heard premiered music.
Yeah.
So come down if you want to see some good live electronic music.
Keep it weird, man.
Yeah, a lot of original electronic music happening at this night. It sounds really interesting. And the sort of the... Not the B-side to that, but the added element of having the live score to Space Odyssey in the second room. it's amazing. So we'll wrap up tonight, or we'll wrap up this afternoon. We're recording in Koichi's kitchen. The sun is shining, but for some reason when I'm talking on the podcast, I always feel like it's night. Guys, it's been a pleasure. It's been great to dig in to the genres and subgenres of electronic music and share these local, or well, Northern Irish based artists with our listeners. I'll hopefully be down at the night. You have been listening to The Jewel Case with me, John Darcy, that we'll be back with an episode sometime in the future. I'm not sure when, but whenever there's an event or an artist that comes up and seems like it's worth interviewing about, I'll do it. You can check out all the old episodes at thejewelcase.johndarcy.com. Koichi Samuels and Liam McCartan, thanks again. And we're going to finish off just with a snippet of one of Liam's tracks that I think is going to be featured in the Space Odyssey score, right?
Yeah. It's the score is quite varied, so if this isn't your cup of tea, this isn't a representation of the whole thing. It's quite a journey. It's quite an odyssey.
What a perfect note to end on.
This is a track called One that uses a lot of tape loops and freaky sampling and choirs.
All right, guys. So thank you and good night.
Thanks so much.
Cheers.